Henry David Thoreau were alive, he would shake his head that someone like me who grew up so near Concord has never hunted for huckleberries. Never. Not only that, I have never even seen a huckleberry pudding nor tasted a single berry. My understanding is that they're a bit like blueberries, both in flavor and appearance. And if by any chance any of you have had the good fortune of meeting a huckleberry, please seek me out after the service, because as Thoreau said in our scene, I will learn much more from your direct experience than reading any dull book. However, I am sort of an expert apple picker. Before I entered the ministry, I was a preschool teacher, and every autumn when the air turned crisp, we would plan a field trip to Apple Country. That's Harvard, Massachusetts. I learned that my mother and I, who's here, call it Apple Country. I'm not sure everyone around here does. And I'm sure, as many of you know firsthand, when you take an excursion like that with people, little people who are all under the age of 6, it is an adventure. The class that I taught was known as the Penguins. And before we headed out, we would tie a red bandana around each of their necks that had the phone number of the nursery school tucked underneath, just in case one of them wandered off. They never did. And these brightly colored scarves, they added to our air of excitement and the sense of team that we were going out from our classroom to explore the world. We would pile into a yellow school bus with the dinosaur and teddy bear classes, and we would sing all the way to the orchard. Once there, we traded that school bus for a bouncy hayride, and we would go over mud and past lots and lots of apple trees until we finally came to our parcel of orchard. And those little ones hopped down with their bags in hand. Now, there is not as much skill involved in picking apples as huckleberry hunting, mind you. The branches all hung down with the weight of that fruit. And where berries hide in the shade, these apples shone in the October sunshine. The character of each of those preschoolers was highlighted by how they filled their bags. I remember Eric was kind of like Edward Emerson. He would run around, racing around every tree, pell-mell, trying to fill his bag as fast as he could for some race that didn't exist. Beth would consider each apple before even picking it off the tree. Amanda always wanted that one that was just out of her reach, while Philip, he was fine just taking the ones his friends dropped. No matter what the individual style of collection had been, we'd all returned to school that day with bags full of apples, and I can tell you, those apples were the best. The flavor burst in our mouth, not only because they were picked fresh from the tree, but because they were also filled with all of our adventure that day, the open air, our time spent together, and the excitement shared. This experience is parallel to what Henry David Thoreau describes in his most well-known book, Walden, as follows. If the day and the night are such that you greet them with joy, and life emits a fragrance like flowers and sweet-scented herbs, is more elastic, more starry, more immortal, that is your success. All nature is your congratulation. And you have cause momentarily to bless yourself. The greatest gains and values are farthest from being appreciated. We easily come to doubt if they exist. We soon forget them. They are the highest reality. Perhaps the facts most astounding and most real are never communicated by man to man. The true harvest of my daily life is somewhat as intangible and indescribable as the tints of morning and evening. It is a little stardust caught, a segment of the rainbow which I have cherished. End quote. As the bicentennial of Henry David Thoreau's birth approaches, many people are reflecting on this man and his legacy. Some things about the writer naturalist will always remain a mystery, but one thing we know for certain was that he was an expert when it came to hunting for huckleberries. But more importantly than that, it was not a solitary activity. When his dear friend and mentor, Ralph Waldo Emerson, delivered Thoreau's eulogy from this very spot, Emerson said, "Yet hermit and stoic as Thoreau was, he was really fond of sympathy and threw himself heartily and childlike into the company of young people whom he loved and whom he delighted to entertain as he only could with the varied and endless anecdotes of his experiences by field and river, and he was always ready to lead a huckleberry party or a search for chestnuts or grapes." Now, like all good stories, there are many versions of that scene that Eric and Eli acted out for us this morning, and Jim Sherblom even let me know that there's a new picture book actually called Henry and the Huckleberries, which was written by Concord resident Sally Sanford. Thoreau is often celebrated for his time spent along the shores of Walden Pond or for his act of civil disobedience. This morning, I would like to celebrate his love for young people and lifelong learning. As many of you know, after graduating from Harvard College without distinction, Thoreau returned to his native Concord and was employed for a time as a school teacher. His approach to education is what is popularly known today as child-centered learning, where the curriculum is based on the natural interests and disposition of the students. The Concord School Committee did not look favorably on Thoreau's teaching, given the standard method of the time was rote memorization. Thoreau was often admonished by the school committee for wandering from the assigned topics and approved books. But in the end, it was Thoreau himself who tendered his resignation because he refused to whip his students, which was the recommended form of discipline. At the time that Thoreau started his own school with his brother John, he wrote in a letter to Orestes Bronson, "We should seek to be fellow students with the pupil, and we should learn of, as well as with him, if we would be most helpful to him." Now, the idea of connecting with and learning with students was revolutionary. And of course, this perspective on education was not unique to Thoreau. It was shared with many of our spiritual ancestors. A great deal has changed, thankfully, since Thoreau's time. Corporal punishment is no longer sanctioned as a form of discipline. Children of all genders are expected to receive an education. And there are many alternative approaches to learning, including public schools, charter schools, private schools, homeschooling. These are great advances. Yet, and you knew there was going to be a yet or a but, our children and youth have considerably less free time. Not only are they going to school, their days are packed with after-school activities, sports teams, lessons, homework. And I have the utmost respect and gratitude to our First Parish families who also make time to be here at First Parish. It is still primarily, our religious education is primarily run by our First Parish parents volunteering. When I was a child attending a Unitarian Universalist congregation in the 1970s, I'm 47, so just get that out of the way, we called it Sunday school. These days, we refer to our programs for children and youth as religious education. Now, the reason why we no longer call it Sunday school is that we want our children to know that First Parish is not another day of school with the same demands. Religious education has a more holistic approach, like some schools. This is part of our religious heritage, Our responsive reading this morning was written in the 1800s by William Ellery Channing, who is the father of American Unitarianism and the inspiration to many transcendentalists. Listen to his words again. "The great end in religious education is not to stamp our minds on the young, but to stir up their own. In a word, the great end is to awaken the soul, to excite and cherish spiritual life." So instead of being just another thing to do, we want to create a safe and affirming environment for our young people to be. Our themes this year have been UU principles, spiritual practices, gaining an appreciation for world's religious teachings, and explorations with Thoreau. I'm very grateful that last Sunday was when we went to the manse, when the sun was shining brightly. We experimented with having guests come into the classroom, and we spent more time outdoors. But I wanted to let you know that there is a growing trend in our association to rename religious education instead of RE, standing for religious education, RE standing for religious exploration. And I want you to know that I find that name exciting. I think it better captures our intention. Religious exploration means that on Sunday mornings, our volunteers are not teaching a set amount of knowledge, but they are exploring with young people. And as you can imagine, we're already planning for next church year, and I invite you to join in religious exploration. Perhaps you'd like to be a part of a team that focuses on a certain age group, taking turns. Maybe you have a special project like you'd like to share just one Sunday morning. Do you miss being with babies every time you hear that little coo in the pews? Maybe you'd like to be part of our little RE team downstairs. Do you want to connect with teenagers? Perhaps you'd like to be a youth advisor or a chaperone. If you have a different religious background or a spiritual practice, let us know. We'd love to know more. I'm going to share a quote from one of my personal sages, Fred Rogers. "Children offer us another chance to grow." So I'm inviting you to be about a part of religious exploration, not because we're desperate. We have so many volunteers and such a robust program and so many children. I want to invite you because I believe you yourself will grow spiritually by being part of religious exploration with us. Henry David Thoreau did not live a long life. His days were cut short by tuberculosis at the age of 44. However, one of the reasons his legacy is being celebrated so widely is that he lived life to the fullest. He woke up each morning facing the day as an adventure and open to the lessons it had to teach. I believe that part of what helped him keep his youthful spirit of lifelong adventure was his friendship with young people. So, like our spiritual ancestor, may we have a fresh encounter with life, the beautiful, the awe-inspiring, and the unjust. May we awaken each day, continually learning and growing spiritually in direct relationship with nature and with one another. Blessed be.